13 past nine. Now, I want you to stop for a few moments and take a good, objective, hard look around you. Now, whether you're at home or in the workplace, is your desk piled high with papers and post-it notes? Last week's fruit you forgot to eat for lunch, perhaps? At home, everybody has the table, usually near the kitchen, right, where you just dump everything and the pile of papers and mail grows. Is that still there? You haven't sort of gotten to last week's must-do list? Head into the kitchen again, as I said, and check out that third drawer down. We all have that drawer in the kitchen that's stuffed to the brim with bits and pieces that have nowhere else to go, and it's usually around about the third drawer down. It is in my kitchen. It is in Angela's. I know it is in Brooke's. It's amazing. I don't know why we do it. Now, you certainly won't be alone here. Most of us struggle to reduce the clutter at work, in the garage and around the home. The good news is today we're going to get some help, some tips to get organised. Suzanne Tieber is a professional organiser. She is with the Australasian Association of Professional Organisers. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
I can't believe there's a professional organisation association of professional organisers.
Yes, I love it.
So,
what I was meant to be to do.
Before you became a professional organiser, were you a compulsive neatnik?
No. I kind of never knew that you could live a different life, and I'm not a neatnik at all. I have three children of my own. You can't be a neatnik or you go crazy. I think you just have to take it as far as possible with the organization, and as far so it makes sense for you and makes your life easier. And because organize is not necessarily about tidy. Tidy and organizing is a little bit different.
Oh, really?
Well, tidy is if you open the cupboards and chuck everything in, it's tidy. It's not organised.
It's not organised. It's just behind closed doors and nobody can see it.
So, three children, you always have toys on the floor. But when it comes down to having someone over or the cleaner comes, everything has a home. So, we could have everything tidy if we would spend the time on it. So, everything has a home.
Now, I've tried to tell that to my husband and two sons as well, that there's a place for everything and everything can go in its place. I'm still to convince them of that motto.
Well, is there a place for everything?
Is there? Well, maybe I know where the place is. Maybe that's exactly the problem and they don't. Mm.
Label.
Oh, gosh, label everything. We can't put labels everywhere.
I do labels with preschoolers and we just draw little pictures.
Oh, okay. So put,
and you have to organise with them, especially with kids from 6 years onwards, because they might have a different idea about how to group their toys and where to put them. And it's their toys, so they make the choice, but then they are responsible to keep it that way.
Tell me, before we get into the nuts and bolts of where to put things, can clutter actually impact on us at an emotional level?
Oh, yes.
How so?
I think there is an issue first, and then you become a hoarder or a clutterer. I work a lot with families with children, reasonably young children, and most parents would tell me, I was reasonably organized till the kids arrived. So there's something in your life that throws you out, or divorces, or families, two families growing back into one, very common nowadays. Elderly people going to a retirement home. There's normally something that triggered either the compulsive hoarding, which we get to, or just the normal amount of everyday family clutter.
So there's two types. There's if we take one at a time, compulsive hoarding, how can we get out of that habit?
Just get started.
Just stop it.
I think people get to a point where that's when they ask us to come in, the professional organizer. They get to a point where they realize this doesn't work anymore. We've spent $200,000 on a house extension. We can't even get into it. That's the compulsive hoarding. And we work with them, and very slowly, just with every piece we touch, ask the question, do you really need it? Do you use it? Has it sentimental value? There's room for sentimental value, but there's not room for sentimental value in a whole extension of a house. So you just have to ask questions. What do you want from life? Do you want things? Or do you want people? Do you want to have time to invite friends over, or you don't because your house is so cluttered and you feel embarrassed? It's about getting back to the values in life.
So that's
realize that it's not about things. it's about living, and it's about friends, and it's about socialising.
So what you're really talking about is simplifying the world around us.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes.
It's National Organising Week this week, and we've heard that this promotes the work of members from the Australian Association of Professional Organisers.
Yes.
What sort of things do your members do?
We do range from organising big corporations, seminars for 10, 15 employees, implementing measures and then teaching them how to maintain these structures. That's big corporate companies. Most of us would work with smaller businesses. I do a lot of home-based business or home-based slash the business of running the family. And we do a lot of private and residential work too. We do relocate overseas. We do relocate into retirement home. We do deceased estates. Everything. Everything where too many things come into play.
So what are the most common problems that you'll see in, say, the small business scenario?
Too much paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And small business, home business, the mix of household paperwork and business paperwork, and no clear distinction, and even not a clear distinction in timeline. When do I work in my business, and when do I work in just paying the Telstra bills?
Is it enough just to have a filing cabinet that you sort of stuff everything into?
No.
Why not?
But you have to ask yourself what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we come in rather than watching a television show or reading self-help books, because everybody is different. For example, in an office, I have this thing of chuckers and tuckers. Chuckers are people who like everything out in the open, very accessible, you just chuck it in the right bin, in the right suspension filing. And tuckers are the ones who like it neat behind doors or the leverage file where it's a bit more work to file it away, but then it's neat and tidy. But you have to ask yourself what kind of person you are. There's no point in trying to be leverage filing and opening a file, opening the rings, punching holes, putting it in, if this is just too much work for you. So you'd rather go for an easier solution you can maintain and actually use.
So think really seriously about how you operate as a person and then find a system that works
yes.
for you. What about the
don't be tricked by television and things and magazine covers and saying this is how the perfect home office should look.
Mm.
It's your life. It has to work for you. If it doesn't look great, maybe that's the way it has to work.
It has to be, just as long as it works.
Yes.
There is a need, though, to keep paperwork, and there's still a need to keep paperwork for, is it, what, 7 years, a minimum of 7 years?
Yes. But that's just tax-related.
Okay. Well, some of us, myself included, thinks that's everything.
No.
I've got receipts that go back to the 80s in some cases. That's
if
bad.
If you don't have a business,
mm-hmm.
it should be less than a centimetre of files each year.
Less than a centimetre.
You don't keep credit card invoices. You keep them for, let's say, a year.
Mm-hmm.
You keep telephone invoices. Sometimes you want to do your statistics. Maybe you want to change your supplier. It's good to have a year worth. What I suggest, for example...
But you don't need 7 years' worth of telephone bills and Visa card bills.
No.
Oh, okay.
You don't.
Guilty.
In a household where very little is tax-related, you have a leverage file, one of the wider ones.
Mm-hmm.
You put everything relating to money going out, meaning invoices, in that. So you have electricity and gas and telephone and everything that's an invoice. By the time the leverage folder doesn't close quite properly anymore, you take 5 minutes and you just rip every second bottom half of each category out. So you would rip out half the electricity bills, half the gas bills, half the telephone bills, and then the leverage folder closes again. You can accumulate another year and you do the same thing again. Just
a year's worth.
Get rid of it.
Well, you've given us one thing to start with, I must admit, Susan, and I'm guilty as charged. I think I'm a combination of a hoarder and a tucker. Yes, I think that's what I am. I like to put things out of sight so they're the house is at least neat and has the appearance of being organised. But I do hang on to things.
Mm.
Yes, it's not
so
easy.
That's where you have to think, what am I really? does it work for me? Does neat work for me? Sometimes it doesn't. Organize works for everybody.
It can get ugly if it's not neat in my house, Susan. Susan, thank you for giving us a few tips.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Susan Tiba is a professional organiser, and perhaps we've given you at least something to work on over the weekend. It's 9:23. You're on ABC Central West Mornings.